was the view went down her other path, she remarried, so she ended up being Pauline's son, that's where we get the son. And on up this way, there was another person named Jeffries. I don't know what her husband's name was, but Mrs. Jeffries was well known that she did belong to our church. And as we came on up Stafford Avenue, the next family coming this way. Mabel Jeffrey.
That's it.
Now. My aunt and uncle Jefferson and Thomas and Maria Jefferson. Robert Freeman and his family. Annabelle Johnson, whose father was one of the founders of the church, gave land and the money too. Joseph Chase was the first superintendent of our son's school, and he lived in the little house that Courtney has there. That was his home spot.
Where is that?
You know where the fish thing outside the church there, that moved?
Yes, right next to the
his
church.
Home. That was his property.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Chase.
Mm-hmm. What kind of work did blacks do after World War One? I know you said your uncle collected rubbish.
Well, he was doing that long before we came up here, so he evidently was doing it before World War. They came up here long before we did.
Were they blacks employed? Do you remember?
Were they employed any other places?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, most of them came up here to work for the white people on Academy Hill. You know where that is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, those people up there were the ones that wanted them to come. They wanted some of the service because they hadn't been long. The black people, the Emancipation Proclamation had. They sent for them. And underneath the Episcopal Church up there was an underground tunnel up to Academy Hill, because that's where all the supposed to be big people were and wanted these servants to come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they went under that tunnel to reach the top of the hill so the people knew where they were. It runs from Main Street from under that Catholic Church up to Academy Hill. The Underground Railroad.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that living conditions for blacks were good during this time?
Well, I'll tell you, as far as I know, see, one thing my uncle worked for white people. I mean, he did, as I said, his service as a collector of their rubbish and so forth, as the town does now. They didn't have any town service. So he and the Freemans that live on Stafford Avenue too, they each had their own little businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And they did all the collecting.
Well, I can tell that you live quite well if your aunt could afford to have someone.
Oh, yes, he
to
did.
Come in.
That's
to
right. Well, he
if
had
she had her
black.
Maid.
He had some of our. Have you heard of Walter Noblin?
Yes.
Well, Walter Noblin worked for my uncle when he came here. Mm-hmm. He came here and he worked for my uncle.
I know, but did others live as well as you did? That they could hire some?
Well, I'm going to tell you frankly, most of them did. Most of them.
Uh-huh.
Because now, Mrs. You know where that big house is up here on the hill between Jacobians and Milet's place? You know there's a big
yes.
house sitting up there?
Yes.
Their names were Jefferson, too. They were black. They owned that house. It was beautiful.
You can tell that it was
And they were Jeffersons, too. But then his name was Charles.
Yes.
And they lived very, very well. I mean, yes, very well. And she used to take me and keep me for days at a time. And she asked my mother and father if they couldn't adopt me. And they had two children, but that's what they asked my mother and father. My father and uncle said, no, indeed. they were close friends, all of them. And then, let's see, it was Mrs. Summers and Mrs. White. You wouldn't know her too, she lived way up, a little bit higher up in Stratford than we did. They were good livers. Most of them were good livers.
Did, I want to move to the Depression era now. I noticed that you say you graduated from high school during 1929,
uh-huh,
and that was during the Depression time, uh-huh, wasn't it? Did that, what kind of, you were still living on Stratford Avenue?
Yes, I was living on Stratford Avenue.
All right, how did the Depression affect your family?
Not too much.
Okay.
No, my father hadn't come here then. He was still down there maintaining our home place in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother was working in service.
Mm-hmm.
But my father was a carpenter. You know, he did carpentry work there.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a fall. My cousin, I had a cousin, my mother's little sister's son and his wife and family lived right near us in the country. And they missed my father. About 2 or 3, 4 days, they used to go over and see about it. All they had to do was go across the railroad track. And they went there and found my father had fallen off the ladder doing some work. And they didn't know it. No telephones. So when they found him, then they started taking care of him. And they put my mother and told her. And finally, my mother told him, well, when he got so he could get up and ride, that the best thing for him to do was to come on up, you know, here where we were. He didn't want to leave down there at first. So finally he came on up here. I forget where he came, but we'd been up here a good long time. So that's how he came here. But most of the people had been here for years, and the people they had worked for were very good to them.
Mm-hmm. So you think that the people were in a pretty good frame of mind because they still had plenty.
They didn't,
mm-hmm,
once in a while you come across a family that needed help, and then, like I said, at the end of the week they used to give my uncle boxes of vegetables and fish from the markets and all, because they couldn't keep it. They didn't have deep freezers and all.
Mm-hmm.
And when Friday evening comes, my uncle would have to go to all these stores and pick up what they had. And they'd give it to my uncle. My uncle would divide it among those that needed it most. Yes, we have some of this. We have some of them right up here in church now. And some people who didn't have, you'd call them good paying jobs then.
Mm-hmm.
But people, the white people that they worked for were good too. So that's what he used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What did people do for medical care during that time,
We had some good doctors here.
Mm-hmm. But you went to the doctor. You didn't have home remedies.
Oh yes, we used old-fashioned remedies that we used down south until we knew better. I had to go to the doctor. Yeah, we did. Like when they had the flu down there during the war. Now, not one in our family had the flu. They had a flu epidemic. So none of us had the flu when we were down there. After we came up here and they had another flu epidemic, every one of us had it at the same time. So they used to give you these old-fashioned medicines, red onions they cook.
Well, it sounds like that the remedies have their own... that sounds like a vote for the remedies to me.
Yeah, that's what they do. They boil these, get all these, they ate from the good earth. I mean, they used things like Sloan liniment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things, old fashioned. Mm-hmm. How was it? Something else I used to remember, they used like sassafras tea and castor oil and you name it.
Yes. Okay.
And we didn't have flu till we got up here. Did every one of us have?
When you started going to the doctor, you got the flu. See, okay, read it. Yeah. All right. Now during the Depression time, by this time had more blacks come to the area.
Oh yes, they were coming constantly.
Uh-huh. Yes. Did they all live in this area?
Stratford Avenue? That's when they started. There were no blacks all the way down south from St. Peter, Stratford and all like that. It was nothing but farmland all down that way. Where now Woody and all down that way.
Uh-huh.
Nothing but farmland.
Yes.
And they came, they started moving back into those areas where they find, you know, places to live. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about you going to school. When did you leave and go to school? Did you leave right after you finished high school?
I graduated in 1930.
You went to school?
Yeah, I went to Winston-Salem Teacher College, but I didn't like it.
You didn't? Did you stay there?
No. 1 year I stayed there, and I told Mom I'd come home in the summer. I wasn't going back, and I didn't, because I had cousins up at Virginia State, and they asked me, said, Bessie, why don't you come on and stay with us? Mm-hmm. I go to school at Virginia State, so I did.
Uh-huh. And I stayed. And you liked that better?
Oh, yes. I couldn't stay in that school down in Winston-Salem. There wasn't one boy on the campus. One fellow. All girls. And I didn't know what it was all about. But I did tell my mother, and the president wouldn't let me go home for Christmas because I didn't know I had to have my mother write a letter.
Couldn't come home for Christmas?
No, unless you got a permit permission by your parents. Unless the president got it, you couldn't. So that year I went home with my sister-in-law, her husband's sister. She came too, but she lived in Hillsborough, North Carolina. And I just went on home that summer, and I told Mama I wasn't going back.
Mm-hmm.
So my cousins, they live in Atlanta now, and they told me, come on, Bessie, because we grew up in the country together.
Mm-hmm.
But they went one way, and we came this way.
Yeah.
And they had uncles in New York and all. We were Mama's sister's children. So we went on down, they went on down to Virginia State. They were down there already, and then I went down there. Graduated in 1930, and I graduated in 1934.
Mm-hmm. Did you come back up here immediately after graduation?
Well, I did come up here. I came home, and when I first applied here, I didn't get a job. I saw it in the paper in Stratford that I went home to bury my father, and got back. I picked up the paper and read it, and it said wanted teachers in Stratford. And so I went on and called her up, and I had filled out the application and had sent it in. I went on and called her, and I asked if she received my application. I said, because I see in the paper you are asking for teachers, and I said, I'm now prepared to start work if I can get a job. She said, well, did you enclose your picture with the application? I said, yes, I did. So when I said that, she says, well, what did you hear from her? I never did hear from her anymore.
Mm-hmm. What, do you remember what year this was?
I guess it was 1934
or 1935. Uh-huh. Did you go back to Virginia then?
Yes, in a little while, not too long. It was before I got called for a job in Virginia, so I went on back to Virginia to teach.
Uh-huh. How long did you stay there teaching?
11 years.
11 years, and then you came back to Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. Again? Came back to Stratford, at least.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What made you come back here then?
Because I didn't have a steady job, I came back because of my mother I just didn't see her having to go washing clothes and all that kind of stuff all her life. Mm-hmm. And had all the grandchildren and great-grandchildren there too, while my sister and brothers had to go to work. Sister and my brother had to go to work, so the children had to be taken care of. And so we all lived together. There were 14 of us in the house at one time. And I just said,
You were still in your uncle's house?
Hmm?
Still in that house?
No,
that your uncle?
My mother my mother and father, but as you hear them talk about so much. Do you ever come to the church meeting? Have you heard about this memorial fund they have?
Uh-huh.
Well, this lady made a will and left her home in the care of the administrator, the president of the bank up there in Stratford, and left a will that as long as she had one son, he lived, the home and all of the money she might have would belong to him. So that he used, and when he died, the will would be part of the will stated that her home would be left to First Baptist Church, Sarah Collins. My mother's father bought that house. And that little money they always talking about in that memorial fund is money that came from her house that my mother and father bought.
Mm-hmm.
And that money should remain there and grow. And when needed for something special, use it for the church. And that's why sometimes, you wouldn't know. That's why I'm writing history for the church now. Uh-huh. Some people think that in there, they just got here and they think they know everything, but I have the wills. I have. Because when my mother and father bought the house, they returned over to my mother.
Yes.
Oh. And the president of the bank, the administrator, well, his son and I went to school together. Lovell up in Stratford.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We all went to school together. And this coming year, we'll have our 55th reunion.
Isn't
I saw Bud about 3 weeks ago. I said, Bud, how about it? When we get me? He said, not that. He said, 5 years ago, that was last year. So, a little bit back, I don't know when. Anyway, it'll be the 55th.
Yes. Okay, let's go back to the time. When you came to Stratford, you came back to stay in Stratford again. And so that meant you were job hunting.
Well, I had made up my mind whether I was going back there or what I was going to do. Wherever I got the job, that's where I meant to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But it so happened I went back there because they offered me a job. Mm-hmm. And I went. And I stayed there 11 years. And then I came back home. That's
yes.
When I was working for the head of the Nurses Association here in Stratford.
Mm-hmm. So when you first came back here, that was your job, working with the Nurses Association.
Yes, I worked for her and I worked for others too.
Yes.
That was day work.
Mm-hmm. And finally could get a teaching job?
Well, I hadn't applied down in Bridgeport. See, I did in Stratford, but I hadn't applied in Bridgeport. So then I went down to pay some bills for my mother one morning, and I looked up the Barnum building downtown, museum rather. Mm-hmm. I looked up at the window and it said Board of Education. I said, gee, I didn't know all that was right here. I just went on in and Dr. Jeffries was in there. He was superintendent. And I just asked him if there might be a possibility of my getting a job. So he asked for my background and all, and he said, well, do you have your certificate? I said, no, I didn't write and get it. So I wrote and got it and gave it, and he had to go to Hartford. And they okayed it. And he called me about a few days later. I wasn't even home. He called and told my mother he was calling to see if I'd come in and saw. And I went. Didn't go that day because I was already at work. But I called him and told him I'd be glad to sub anytime he called me. So when he called me, I subbed one day in Walterville. Then he finally said to me this a couple of days later that he said one of the teachers had fallen and broken her ankle and wouldn't be back for a year and wanted to know if I'd take the job. I said, any job is okay with me. And that's where I started.
So you started in, what year was that? Do you remember? About 45?
Oh, must have been
1976. That was for 1946.
That's right.
And you were hired, Dr. Jeffries was the superintendent of schools at that time?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, was Waltersville where it is now?
That's where I started.
But was it in the same place it is now?
Well, What street is it on?
Well, it's over near now Village, in the Village.
That's where I started.
Oh. Where did you stay there the entire time?
No. That was a substitute job for a teacher who wasn't able to come back.
Uh-huh. So where did you go
after
that?
He called me before school closed and told me that he had a permanent opening for me, and that was at Wheeler School.
Uh-huh.
So I...
Where is Wheeler School?
Up there by Green Apartments.
Uh-huh. That's not there any longer, is it?
No, no. Uh-huh. That was up on top of Highland Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And from there I went down to Prospect School, which is down on the south end.
Prospect School?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's on the other, that's where, over on the other side of the expressway, isn't it?
Yes, it's going down toward Seaside Park.
Mm-hmm.
And from there I came to McKinley, and that's where I quit.
Yeah.
I just shoot after I had to have eye surgery. And you see that leg?
Yes.
Cut from there all the way up here, all the way up here, all the way under here, all the way up to my stomach. And I had a surgery four times on that leg. And at the same time I had the cataract surgery.
So because of your health?
Huh?
Because of your health.
Yep. I said, my leg like that. And there was four times I had had surgery on it. And my eye, I said, I'm going back there. I just laid in a bed, and the principal kept calling me in the hospital. When you coming back to school? I said, I really don't know. I said, I don't know, Miss Mann, when I'm coming back. So she worried me so much. The doctor came in one day, and I told him that she kept calling me in the hospital. I said, told her whenever you said it would discharge me, and he said, "Will you tell her to write me a letter, and I will talk to the superintendent of the Board of Education. I'll let him know." He said, "Because when I discharge you, then I said I will tell her she'll be all right to come back to school." That's been 10 years. So I didn't go back anymore.
Mm-hmm. Before you were hired to teach in Bridgeport, you did service jobs?
Well, I used to serve stag parties for people that we knew around here, you know, and that was almost an all-night party. I used to do that before I went away to college.
Uh-huh.
I used to work until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and they'd have to take me home. Mm-hmm. I'd have to get there and get busy and do my homework before I go to school the next morning, but I did. I did that. I even worked in New Jersey. Summertime.
Did you have a lot of things to work with kids in Bridgeport?
In my class was the first class that performed at the P.G. Barnum Festival. My class from Wheeler School.
Mm-hmm.
I had to teach them to dance, and the first time they had the Barnum Festival, my class was the class that performed.
Very good. So you made history with the Barnum Festival.
Well, I had my class too.
Uh-huh. Now we can go to teacher stores and get materials, and they buy our supplies to work with the youngsters. Did you have all of that?
Yeah, they had all of that. I didn't have, well, there were some things that I wanted children to use that I didn't have, but as a rule, they furnished practically everything we needed.
Uh-huh.
And did not the equipment they have today, they didn't have any TVs or whatever you call all these things they have today.
What about your film strip projectors?
And didn't have those.
Film projectors?
Mm-mm.
Nothing. Tape recorders?
Had a lot of these old-fashioned recorders that just set up on the table and play records for them.
And that was it?
Yeah.
Could you tell me about, during this time, back in 1946, were there any black teachers in the city of Bridgeport?
Mm-mm.
About
46, no. I don't know about her. She has Selma. Selma's out here in Stratford, but you wouldn't know she's black because she looks like she's just as white as a white woman, but she's a black woman, and her husband is a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And her son is still a dentist. He's a dentist over there in that building at the corner of Washington Avenue and Park Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
She taught out here. Now, in Bridgeport, let's see, who was teaching? Geraldine Farrar, Marion Jennings. I'm trying to think of anybody else.
Okay. You think they'll come to you later?
I can get the information, I think, from one of the girls I know.
Okay.
But there weren't many.
No, I'm sure.
I don't think there were half dozen.
Can you tell me about your relationship with your coworkers?
Oh, the other teachers and so
forth? The other teachers.
Oh, I was their pet. I'm no, I still got no problem at ever, but I had a problem with the teacher. I was a principal once, but she got herself in hot water. She's the one they let go. Mm-hmm. Indeed they did. She was a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a way of jumping at me in front of other people for no reason at all. She just didn't, she was just me. Nobody liked her. But uh-huh. she didn't like me because I was black, and I was the only black one there.
Uh-huh.
But I set her in her place.
Mm-hmm.
And the superintendent, no, I'm just bringing my children downstairs. It was beginning to snow, and I stopped at the foot of the steps. I had third grade, the other school. And of course, the kindergarten children, the first and second grade children go out first. I'm standing out there waiting with their raincoats and little boots and things for them to put on. So I got my children lined up because I was upstairs. And I said, then we marched down and I stopped on the first step and I stood there and my children lined up behind me. No problem with the children at all. I just stand there waiting for the little kindergarten children, the first grade, second children, the grade children got out. And she's over there across the hall and she started over there to me, what are you doing? You know, your children are going to, I said, I have brought them down to the foot of the steps. And when their turn comes, I know when to take them up. All these parents standing around in the hall waiting for their children with their raincoats and hats. And so that's where I was standing. I knew when I was supposed to go out, I'd do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Or what line I'm supposed to follow. So she's, wow, you need to come in on Monday. I said, thank you. So when I got my children out, I walked all the way down Main Street to that barn museum where Dr. Jeffrey was. And I walked in and I sat down and he said, well, you can die and all this other business. I can talk to you. That's what I was then. I said, well, I tell you what happened and what I was told to do or not to do. And I told him just what happened. And he said, what? She told me not to come back on Monday. And he said, that's like that. He said, well, I'll tell you what to do. He said, I do the hiring and I do the firing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now you go right back to your classroom on Monday. And before you go in your class, he said, you go to the office and tell her that Dr. Jeffrey said, I do the hiring and I do the firing.
Mm-hmm.
I went on back to school in my classroom and I didn't say a word to her because she was so nasty and all the other teachers were white had been telling me. I was the only black one in the building. They'd be telling that to you, watch her.
Mm-hmm.
They sure wouldn't. If she said anything in their presence without me, they'd come and tell me. Or when I get home, they'd sure call me.
Mm-hmm.
They said, Dusty, you so-and-so and so.
Mm-hmm.
So sure enough, I didn't go to him. I didn't go tell her anything. He said, and a few days later, here comes the assistant, Miss Mendel was her name. And she came in and she says, how are you doing, Buster? Hello, I'm doing okay. She said, but you didn't do what Dr. Jeffrey told you to do. I said, what is that he told me to do? I didn't do. I said, well, you know. And she says, he told you when you came back on Monday morning to go in there and talk to her.
Uh-huh.
That you did the fine, he did the fine, and he would do the fine. You didn't do it best. That's why I'm here today. I came to tell her. You raise my hand to God. Now, who got fired? She.
Oh, gee.
That's my husband and ass.
Mm-hmm. What about your relationship with your parents? Of your children, you talk.
She never had but one, and she was a black one. Only time. And all those 11 years, and she came to the floor when his was doing so bad, and I said, "Don't worry."
So you went,
I kept him, I guess, for a couple of little days, and I said, "You didn't do your work during school time, you were playing." I said, "Now you do your work, I have work to do too, so I'm doing mine, you do yours." He only lived about 2 blocks away. His mother came up there and said, "Of course you was," I said, "Well, I'm sorry." I said, "But I'm doing my job, I don't know what you're doing at home, because evidently you're teaching him that he comes to school to study and not to play, so it's all right, thank you." The only time ever.
So it was just because you were keeping the kid after school to do his work.
To do what he was supposed to have done.
Yes, he was missed, okay.
And I had another one too, when I got to Prospect, over Sheenbach.